Well, tonight we're going to be, like I said, this is our last night in this Covenant Life class, Your Authority as a Believer. And again, I think I said this in an earlier class, but to me, the series we do on righteousness, those four classes, really, to me, showed me my position with God, my position before the Father, where I was in relation to Him. That's what righteousness is to be in right standing with God. But Your Authority as a Believer, to me, communicates to us where our position is concerning Satan and the kingdom of darkness. And it really puts us in, you know, in our position relative to Him. And so I enjoy these. But tonight we're going to talk about the name of Jesus. And this is something that you hear. You know, it's not like something you've never heard. You know about the name of Jesus. But few people really understand the use of the name of Jesus, what it's about, and why we have authority in that name. So we're going to talk about those things tonight. Now, this is something that you need to thoroughly understand, the name of Jesus. You need to understand your right to use His name, because this name is your enforcer. The Bible says that we have the keys of the kingdom. They're in the name. You know, the name of Jesus is the key that unlocks the door to wherever you want to go in. And it's also the key that locks out what you don't want in your life. So you really need to understand about the name of Jesus. Some people think the name of Jesus is just, you know, like the warning. Whenever they pray, they want to give God the warning. You know how in some sports they have like the 2-minute warning? Well, in prayer, you know, like the name of Jesus is, you know, just the warning to God that you're about to finish the prayer. So you get down and you're finishing your prayer and you want to give God the warning that the amen's coming. So you just kind of give Him the warning in the name of Jesus, and then God knows, oh yeah, they're about to finish, and then you say amen. So I guess He can turn off the receiver. I don't know. But sometimes, you know, that's kind of how people are. It's just something they say. Of course, you hear people pray for Jesus' sake. Y'all ever heard people pray that? For Jesus' sake. I'm not really sure where that came from, but maybe they heard people praying in the name of Jesus, and so they decided they'd pray for Jesus' sake. And like I always say, dear God, it's not for His sake, it's for ours. So don't pray for His sake. You pray in His name. But why do you pray in His name? What's the deal about His name? Why do we use His name? And so we're going to talk about that tonight. Now, one of the major reasons you need to understand about His name is the devil's going to try to challenge you. And sometimes people cast the devil out in the name of Jesus, and he doesn't seem to go, and people kind of shrink back from the devil. Well, it's because oftentimes we don't understand the authority that we have in that name, what we're doing with the name when we use the name. The Bible talks about fighting the good fight of faith. You fight it with the name of Jesus. So you need to understand the name. But we're going to start out by talking about where He got His name. What's the big deal about the name of Jesus? How did He obtain His name? What makes it such a special name? But you should know the name is a precious name. There's no other name like it. And it's a valuable name. And it means something. You know, even in the world, there are names that mean something. They have you just hear that name and immediately it invokes certain images in your mind. You know, you can say the name Rockefeller, well, maybe not to this generation. You could say the name Bill Gates in this generation, and it means something. In days gone by, you could say the name Rockefeller. It was associated with money and power and prestige and influence. Is that true? Aren't there names that mean something and carry weight, and they're valued or seen, you know, in a certain light? Well, this name is the most valuable name, and it means more than any other name. Not just here on earth, not just in a certain society, a certain group of people, but in the whole universe, this is the name. If you were going to have the name to name, you talk about being a name dropper. I tell you, if you want to drop a name, this is the name to drop. This is the one. This is the name. If you want to be associated with any name, this is the one you want to be associated with. But now, how did He obtain His name? Flip over to Hebrews chapter 1. And you'll see the first way, because He obtained His name three ways. What's the big deal about the name? Well, Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1, it says, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by His Son, whom He has appointed heir of all things, through whom also He made the world, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high, having become so much better than the angels, as He has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. The first way He obtained His name is He inherited it from His Father, just as any son would inherit the Father's name. But see, what makes this name so special is he didn't just have any old father. Now, you might think you had a great dad, but I'm going to tell you, your dad doesn't compare to the father he had. So he inherited his father's name. You think of the name of God, in the Old Covenant, the Old Testament, people knew God as Jehovah or I Am. But the name that he inherited also has all the everything that's resident in Jehovah is in the name of Jesus. Everything that is resident in I Am is in the name of Jesus. All of that is resident in his name. You've studied maybe some on the names of God and who he is, you know, Jehovah Rapha and Jehovah Nisi, the Lord our provider, the Lord, even El Shaddai, the God of more than enough. That's resident in the name of Jesus. Everything that was in God's name is all resident in the name of Jesus, everything that he is. And so the first way he obtained his name was, of course, by inheritance. Now, secondly, turn over to Philippians chapter 2. We'll see another way that he obtained his name. Because this helps you understand what's resident in that name. When you utter his name, when you say his name, you're saying everything that was in any of the names of God, you're saying that. You're invoking that. You're partaking of it when you use the name of Jesus. You're partaking of whatever is in the name of God. Now, the next way that he obtained his name is Philippians chapter 2, verse 9. It says, therefore God has also highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now, it seems, based on this scripture, see where it says in verse 9, and he's given him the name, which is above every name. I have reason to believe from studying this that before time began, that God reserved in heaven a special name. There was a name in heaven that he saved and held back and reserved for someone, for something. And it was the highest name that was. You know, he didn't give the angels this name. He didn't even give man this name. He held back a name. And it was a high name. And it was a name that was so high and so exalted that one would have to be worthy of that name. And so when Jesus came to the earth to carry out his work and to do what he was going to do, he obtained that name. And it says here, he has given him the name which is above every name. This name is above every name that is named. Now, part of what you should see in this scripture is that everything that has a name, his name is above that. Not just people's names. He has a high name, higher than any person's name, but his name is above anything's name. And everything that is has a name. And if it doesn't have a name, you can give it a name, and his name's above that. So whenever you name any sickness or any disease, his name's above that. Now, there are some names that just by their very nature, you know, invoke fear. You can sit in the doctor's office and there's certain words he can say to you across that desk that can just cause fear to rise up in you. He can say malignant. He can say it was cancer. He can say the HIV test came back positive. You know, they can just use the word AIDS. There's a lot of words that even a doctor can use that can cause fear. But this name is above all those names. Why is it above all those names? Because this name can change whatever any of those names. This name is above those names. This name can step in and change the course of whatever those names were doing. You know, bankruptcy is a name. But this name can change and affect bankruptcy. So this name is above every name. So you need to remember that. I mean, that seems like a very elementary point, doesn't it? But oftentimes we forget. We forget that, oh, wait a minute, there's a higher name here. There's a higher name here than what we've heard. The name which is above every name. Just remember that. Whenever you even utter his name, remember, this is the highest name. It's the name that's above every name. And then it says that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, every tongue. And of those on heaven, those on earth, and of those under the earth. In other words, that at this name, when this name is invoked, when this name is used, when this name is called upon, when demands are made in this name, things happen, things change. Things bow their knee. Things give in. This takes precedent. This name takes precedence over any other name, over any other command, over any other thing. Any other order issued in any other name has to bow its knee to any order or command given in this name. This is the highest name. some of you are in the military. I give military examples, and you know by my examples, I don't know very much about the military, but you have in your mind what it must be like. You know, somebody who's a private, they give an order in their name, and then a general gives an order in his name. Which order should be seen about? Which one should be carried out? Which one takes precedence? The higher order, given by the higher ranking, the higher name. Isn't that right? Well, the same way, cancer is an order given for out of the kingdom of darkness, but that order has to bow its knee to the name of Jesus and the order of healing and health and wholeness given in that name. You see that? So you just remember, whatever orders given from any name or in any name, there's a name higher that issues orders. There's a name higher that's invoking things and making commands. And thank God, the stuff He's commanding is good. And then it says, in that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. There is coming a day where everyone will confess Him as Lord. Now, it isn't going to get them in heaven, but there is a day coming when everyone will have to say that. Now, so you see that. God bestowed it upon him. And then the third way, flip back over to Hebrews chapter 2. Third way he obtained his name was through conquest. He obtained it because he won it in battle. Because he fought the good fight and he won. He overcame. And because he overcame, he was awarded a name. And the name he was awarded and the name he gained and the name that he conquered to get was his name, the name of Jesus. And Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14 says, "Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil. Through conquest he gained his name." Y'all remember over in 1 John chapter 3, verse 8, it says, "For this purpose the Son of Man was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil." The works the devil has done. And some Amplified says that he may undo, dissolve, and loosen the work the devil has done. And that's what he did. That's what he did when he went to the cross. He destroyed him who had the power of death. And when he did, he took back any authority that he'd been given. And he took it back from him, and he conquered anything that Satan had or anything he built up unto himself. He took it back and conquered. And that's another way he got his name, is he gained it through conquest. Now, we're going to talk about prayer in the name of Jesus. So look over in the book of John, chapter 16. In John, chapter 16, in verse 23, "And in that day you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you." You see that? Whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. It's a pretty good name, isn't it? Pretty good stuff in this name. "Until now, you've asked nothing in my name." Up until this point, you found no record of people praying in the name of Jesus. They had other ways that they prayed, other ways they were instructed to pray. But here he's changing things and saying, in that day, meaning the day after, you know, the time after the cross, the time after he obtained his name, the time after Calvary, you will pray in his name to the Father. And then he says, "Until now you've asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full." So his intent was for to ask in his name, to receive whatever it was we wanted or needed, even that our joy would be full. That our joy would be full. Now, what's happening when we pray in the name of Jesus? Do you know what's going on when you pray in his name? Well, first of all, the reason he gave us the right to pray in his name is because all of heaven recognizes that Jesus is not on the earth in the flesh anymore, except in you and in me. And so heaven sees it, and Jesus himself, the Father himself, sees it on the earth that you and I are here conducting business on behalf of heaven. You and I are here as representatives of Jesus himself on the earth. And so therefore, the heaven had to give us a way to work and to maneuver in the earth. And once we're born again, we have to have a way legally to operate here in the earth, and a way to obtain what we need, a way to carry out, you know, what we've been commissioned to do. And so the plan of God was that we would be here on the earth acting as his representatives, and that he would give us the name of Jesus. And in that name, we would have the authority that we needed to carry out God's will and God's plan. You know, Jesus said that he didn't do anything unless he saw the Father do it. That he came, he said in another place, that he came to do the will of him who sent him. He came to do the will of the Father, he said. And so if Jesus came to do the will of the Father, we should be, as his representatives, ones here in his stead, what should we be doing? The will of the Father. And so how are we going to be able to accomplish the will of the Father? We're going to have some firepower, so to speak, to do it. We're going to have some authority to do it. We can't just be down here acting in our own, you know, stead. We can't just come up against the forces of enemy and of the enemy and say, you know, in the name of Susie, loose her, because it's not going to do any good. And we can't go to the Father in our own name. We're not going to get very far. I can't go to the Father. Now I pray these things, Father, in my own name. We're not going to get very far. Because, see, my place before God in and of me is not a good place. You remember? You know, we exchanged our place for His. And so we don't go to Him based on us. We go to Him, go to the Father based on Jesus. That's why we go in His name. So we go to the Father and ask in the name of Jesus. We go to the Father, the one who dispenses, the one who has what we need, the one who's our resource, who's our the very source of our life. We go to Him, and we go to Him in the name of Jesus. And heaven sees it like Jesus Himself is coming and making a request. We go to the Father in the name of Jesus. Okay? We're taking His place on earth, acting as His representatives, and we use His authority to carry out His will, because our own authority, we couldn't do much with it. You know, think of how silly that would be to pray in our own name. But we don't pray in our name. We pray in the name of Jesus. And then our position in Christ gives us the same standing with the Father that Jesus had. Now, we know from the Scripture, Romans, that we're joint heirs with Christ. Do you know what that means? Do y'all understand the concept of being a joint heir? Sometimes we just throw out these words. Sometimes not everybody understands what we mean. But a joint heir means if you are a joint heir with your brothers and sisters and your father died, it means the whole estate, everything that he left, that you would have full access to it, that you could spend everything that he left. It doesn't mean, you know, most people don't leave people as joint heirs. They leave people as co-heirs, meaning that, you know, I have four brothers. If my parents died and left us, then I'd get a fifth of the estate, and I'd be a co-heir with my four brothers. But not with Jesus. We're joint heirs, meaning that we would all have full access to everything he has, and we're joint heirs with Jesus. Everything that Jesus has, we have. And the way we access it is how? In the name of Jesus. It's our access code. It's the key that goes in and unlocks and get, you know, what we need. It's our access code. It's very important, the name of Jesus. It's very important. It's not, again, it's not just the word we use. And really, in the body of Christ, we don't have a lot of reverence for His name because we haven't understood what His name is meant. And so we just tack it on and just throw it out there and do things in it and really don't realize what it means to have His name. You know, nobody else has His name. Angels can't use His name. Did you know that? An unbeliever can't use His name. Demons, the devil, Satan, they can't use His name. But you and me, we can use His name. And not only can use His name, we've been authorized to use His name and commanded to use His name. And so what happens is that we have access to everything He has. We can do everything that He has done, everything that He ever did, we can do it, and we do it all through the authority that's in that name. And heaven recognizes it and sees it and bases, you know, what they do on the fact that we have the authority to use that name. And so when heaven hears you praying to the Father in the name of Jesus, heaven doesn't hear it like that you're praying. Heaven hears it like Jesus is praying. That Jesus is making a request, that Jesus is asking for something, that Jesus has a need, then He needs to be supplied. That's how heaven hears it. That's how the Father Himself hears it. Because when you use His name, He's unable to distinguish now, is this Susie or is this Jesus? Because when I pray, based on the word in His name, it's like Jesus. It is Jesus Himself making a request. You see that? Because I'm in Him. Using His words, saying His words in His name. How could I not be? How could it not be Jesus asking? Okay, that's important. It is in His name that we have access to God. It is not of ourselves. That's why when we come to Him and pray to the Father in Jesus' name, we have no right to be there and make any request except on the authority of that name. Do you know that God in heaven, you have no access to Him except through the name of Jesus? because it's not based on you and any works you've done or anything that you've earned or anything you could possibly ever earn. It's all based on His name. That's why you have to go to the Father in the name of Jesus. But you have the right and the authority to do that. It's in His name and on the basis of what He has done and who we are in Him. Now, we're there in John 16. Flip back to John 15 and verse 16, John 15, 16. Jesus said, "You did not choose me, but I chose you, and I appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, He may give you." Now, another translation says it this way. It says, "You ask of the Father in my name, I will endorse that, and the Father will give it to you." So you ask the Father for something in the name of Jesus, and Jesus endorses it, and the Father gives it to us. It's the way it happens. Whatever you ask the Father in my name, He may give you. Now again, do y'all want your prayers answered? Do you want your prayers? I mean, most people don't get their prayers answered. Did you know that? Most people desperately want their prayers answered, but they really don't ever get them answered. People are searching for a way just to get God to hear them. People are searching for a way to ever get any prayers answered. And you and I have the privilege of having the revealed light of God's Word shine on us where we can see and know and understand how to get our prayers answered. What an awesome thing that you and me can go to God the Creator and make a request and He would grant it. Think of that, the awesomeness of it. We should not take for granted the fact that we have access to God, the fact that we can make requests of Him and He'll grant them. Don't take that for granted. Don't just be like, "Oh yeah, I can pray. I can ask God for something and He'll give it to me." I'm telling you, most people don't know that. Most people don't walk in the light of that. That's a very precious thing. And the more that you esteem that and the more you give honor to that, the more you know that you treasure that, the more it'll work in your life. The more you'll see the fruit of it. The more you'll be able to operate in it and actually have your prayers answered. I tell you, how many times do you pray and make a request or ask God for something? Now just think about this. In your life, how often do you go and ask the Father for something in the name of Jesus and you really, truly expect that it's going to happen? How often? Because, people make requests of Him all the time, but I'm not sure we always fully expect that it's going to happen. But He said, it's so cut and dry here. Whatever you ask the Father in my name, He may give you. He'll give you whatever you ask in my name. That's pretty cut and dry, isn't it? That's just pretty simple. But yet, we struggle in this. People like you and me, we struggle with this because somehow or another in our thinking, we don't feel like we're getting through to Him. Or we don't feel like, it's being granted. Or it doesn't seem like anything's happening. Or nothing's changed. Or, all these things that go through our minds. But Jesus said that God would do it if we would ask it in Jesus' name. Just that simple. We need to believe that. We need to get back to where we just actually believe the Bible. Just read the Bible and believe it. He said to ask in the name of Jesus. And He would do it. So why don't we pray, ask God for what it is that we need, desire, whatever it is we're lacking, let's ask Him for it and believe we receive in Jesus' name. And just do it. Do what the Bible says. And not struggle and not sweat it. Not go through all the things we go through. Not think we got to do 200 other things just to come out right. No, you don't have to do 200 other things just to make it work. Just ask in the name. But if you understood what you were doing in the name, that the names, y'all have ever seen presented the key to the city? And they'll give them one of those, there's no key to a city. But, in theory, they give them a key to a city. It's a big brass key or gold, whatever, painted key, big old thing. And they're giving them the key to the city. Well, that's what God's given us, so to speak. He's given us the key to heaven. The keys to the kingdom, the Bible says. But this key actually works. And that's the big old key. God gave it to us. And we can take that big old key and we can unlock whatever it is we want. We can go into the secret places of heaven and unlock it and open it up and get out what we need. We can go into God's treasury. You think about God's treasury. If the streets are paved with gold, what must the treasuries be like? Think about it. If He's got big old pearls out front for the gates, what must the treasury be like? We can go into His treasury, take the keys that He's given us, and withdraw and take out what we need. Healing. I've heard tell that in heaven, there are large warehouses in heaven of spare parts. I mean, spare body parts. kidneys and hearts and lungs and livers and even the liver. Yes, praise God. And the arms and fingers and toes and hair. Praise God. Some of you need to claim some of that. It's all there in heaven. That makes sense to me. God made us. He's got spare parts. He can fix us. You know what gets in there and gets the spare parts out? The name of Jesus. The key. The name of Jesus can go in and open the warehouse. Get out what you need. So think. This is good news. Just think for a minute. Like you never heard it before. Think for a minute. God said in the Word, Jesus himself wrote it in red, said to ask the Father in the name of Jesus, and whatever we ask, it'd be given to us. What is it you need tonight? Just ask him for it. Ask him in the name. And just believe it. This is the first time you ever heard it. Ask him. These classes are not designed to be like some academic study of something. You know, you can act on these too. You can act and apply these things too. Just think, what is it you need? You need something? Well, ask in the name. And you just took your big key and you went over to wherever in heaven they got it stored up for you. You don't know it, but it's got your name on it already. And you just go and open it up and you take it out. It's yours. God's not holding it back from you. I don't know where we ever got the idea he's holding it back from us. When you read the Bible, it doesn't sound anything like he's holding it back from you. He's always saying, ask, 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 ask. He says it all over. Ask that you may receive. And he said, just ask in the name of Jesus, and it'll be yours. He didn't say you're going to have to struggle for it. You're going to have to confess for it 300,952 times. Never said that. He didn't say you're going to have to just really struggle to believe. You're going to have to hear every tape in Brother Hagin's Faith Library, and maybe we can eke it out for you somehow. He didn't say on that. He just said, ask in the name of Jesus. It gets down to just believe what the book says and ask in the name. Just ask. In the name. That's what the name. It's not about all the stuff you do before and after. It's about his name. If you just believe on his name. I tell you, if you can call upon his name and get saved, well, you can ask anything in his name and get it. I mean, that's the biggie. I mean, we think if somebody can just eke out, I believe if somebody just ekes out in the name of Jesus, that God, he's like, okay, I'll take them. Just any. Help me, Jesus. You can get, you don't have to pray it all just right. Whatever your denomination taught you had to pray. Just help me, Jesus. People can get saved. I told the story today. A woman said, Jesus, help me. And she's born again. Well, why not? If you can be born again, the biggest thing that could possibly ever happen to you. If you can be born again by going, Jesus, help me, then why do we have to do all these other things just to get him to answer a prayer? Huh? We don't. We can just ask and believe. Prayer is not a drudgery. Prayer is not something you have to work at and just finally, finally you work through it and jump through all the hoops and you get everything just right and you just do it all just perfectly and then God, he'll think about it. But that's kind of how the mentality's been, We make it a lot of work. And then there are people who present it to the congregation like it is a lot of work and like you'll never be able to do it, only we can do it. Only us really learned ones can do it. I mean, that's what ought to give you all a lot of hope here at the Good News Church, because you got me and Pastor Matt. If we can do it, dear God, anybody who darkens the door can do it. That's the truth. It is. It's good news. Praise God. It's like I told my husband today, you live with grace. Because dear God, the fact that I can function at all is the grace of God. He sees it in operation. He has a daily illustration of the grace of God. It's the truth. So I'm just telling you, whatever happened to just believing the Bible? I'm going to go back. I'm going to just read to you again, John 16:23. And in that day you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly I say to you. Now listen, this is Jesus. Most assuredly. Let's take that out. Look, he's saying this for sure, without a doubt. No exception. This is going to happen. You can bank on it. I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. It's that simple. Whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. If you jump and dance and shout and rejoice before the Lord for 2 hours and 20 minutes, then he'll do it. No. No, rejoicing's good. I could teach on rejoicing. One night I will. But I'm telling you, whatever happened to just reading the Bible? Just believe in what Jesus said. Ask the Father in my name, he will give you. If you have spoken in tongues for 29 minutes preceding the request, we'll grant it. Is that what he said?
No.
And if you can quote one third of the New Testament in the King James Version, then we'll consider it. No. He doesn't say that. He just says, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. And then he says, until now, you've asked nothing in my name. And then I can just see Jesus. He's going to ask. You know, we think he's saying ask. But he's not. He's going to ask. Come on, ask. Ask. Ask something. I want to see him. I want to see him get in motion. I want to see the angels fly around. And I want to see the doors open and everything come flying out. Ask. Ask. And you will receive, that your joy may be full. It's going to make us all happy. We all going to be happy. Thank God. Just ask. Praise God. Amen. Behave. Okay, now, we're still back. Okay, John 15:16. Now, Jesus gave us his power of attorney. That's what he's saying here. In John 15:16, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. Now, do you understand what a power of attorney is? Another word, sometimes I skip over this part, but some people don't understand what a power of attorney is. Power of attorney is when you legally give someone the right to act in their stead and their behalf, to do business on their behalf, just as if they themselves were doing business for, you know, on their behalf. But they give you the right to do it. And when they do, we say they have given you their power of attorney. In other words, if Janice gave me her power of attorney, that means I could go into Janice's affairs. If she gave me the full legal authority to act in her behalf and gave me the power of attorney, I could go into her affairs and I could sell her stuff. I could go to her house. Anything belonged to her, I could sell it. I could buy things in her name. I could take her money and invest it, or take her money and give it all to the Good News Church, or give it to the poor, or buy me something. Whatever I could do, because she was vested in me. She's saying, you have the right to act in my behalf. You have my power of attorney. Now, a lot of times in the earth, we give each other, because of legal reasons, necessities, we'll give people a limited power of attorney. But he didn't give us limited power of attorney. He gave us his full power of attorney. In fact, he gave it to us, and then he gave us the guidelines for using it, and then he left and went to heaven. And what he's doing in heaven is making sure that your requests are carried out. He's making sure that things that his name's being honored. That's what he's doing. He's there saying that. So anyway, we've been given his power of attorney. So we have every legal right to use his name. He makes it good. It's not just that he approves it, but like I said, it is as if he himself were asking or saying it. So we have every right to use his name. Do y'all believe that you have the right to use his name? Because you have to know you have the right to use his name. You've seen this in these places. You have the legal right to use his name. You're not doing something you shouldn't be doing. You're doing something you've actually been commanded to do. You'll see in some other scriptures. Okay. Now, we do his works in his name, on his behalf, with his authorization. That's what it means. When we do his works in his name, we do them on his behalf with his authorization. Our authority as believers is resident in that name. We've been talking for 4 weeks about your authority as a believer. It's all resident in that name. Your authority is in that name, the name of Jesus. Now, Acts, just flip over a couple of books to the book of Acts. We're going to read several scriptures in Acts, but the first one we're going to read is in Acts chapter 4 and verse 12. And on this day, Peter was given the elders of Israel a lesson on the name of Jesus. And in verse 12, he said, "Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." Salvation is in his name, and you must be saved in the name of Jesus. Now, I'll just point this out. A lot of people talk about God, and a lot of people say they know God, and a lot of people will mention the Spirit of God, and a lot of people will say all kinds of things about God, and sometimes you don't know who they're talking about. But the name of Jesus is very distinct. We're talking about a specific individual. We're talking about a specific belief system when we talk about Jesus. You understand? Because people say all kinds of things in the name of God. But that could be anybody. You know, other people, they believe, they call people God. You know, the Muslims, they call their God God. But our God is Jesus. He has a name, Jesus. You have to be saved in His name. You can't be saved in the name of God. You have to be saved in the name of Jesus. And that's the only name given among men. And it has been given among men for the purpose of salvation. And there is no other name given among men by which we must be saved. But you can be saved, again, just calling on that name, just Jesus. And somebody could be born again if they call on that name in faith. But that name is the only name by which men must be saved. Now, in the days to come, we've already seen it. We've already seen the hoopla that where we all talk about God. But in the days to come, it will be more and more and more. And the name of Jesus will be like, we can all talk about God, but don't talk about Jesus. You know, you can talk about God because that could be anybody, but don't talk about Jesus. Well, that's why it's important to hang on that name. When you're going to talk about God, use Jesus. Talk about Jesus, because that's a specific person we're talking about. Jesus. Okay. It's His name which activates our salvation. Remember that those who call on His name will be saved. Okay, now, in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, it says we are to baptize in His name. Peter said to them, repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You'll be baptized. You can be baptized in water in the name of Jesus, and you can be baptized in the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. That's the name that we're baptized in. Now, Matthew chapter 28. Matthew 28 and verse 18. Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority, King James says power, but the word should be translated authority. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. So again, we baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But you go and make disciples in the name. You see that? Go and make disciples in the name. And then he says, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. Okay, so we make disciples in His name. Then look over at Mark chapter 16. We get saved in the name. We are baptized in the name. We're baptized in the Holy Spirit in the name. We make disciples in the name. And we get to do some other really good stuff in the name. I'm telling you, we just do it all in the name. You'll see in just a minute that the early church, everything they did in the name. They did it all in the name. Mark chapter 16. Verse 15, and he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And he who believes and is baptized will be saved, and he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe in my name. They will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. All these things are done in the name. And really, you go into all the world in the name, and you preach the gospel in the name. You baptize in the name. All the things that you do as a believer, all the signs that are all wrought in the name of Jesus. They're all done in His name. Why are they done in His name? Because the authority to do them is in His name. You have no authority in your own strength. You have no authority in any other way other than in His name. You have no authority to lay hands on the sick and expect them to recover separate from that name. It's all in that name. You're doing it in that name. And when you do it in His name, you're saying, when you lay hands on a sick person and you say, in the name of Jesus, you know, you're doing it in the name. When you lay your hands on them in the name, what you're doing is you're recognizing that, first of all, I'm not doing this on my own authority. This isn't Susie laying hands on. This is Jesus laying hands on. And I'm doing it in obedience and in accordance with His word. And I'm expecting His power, not my power, to be in operation here. See, that's what you're doing. That's why you do it in the name. In the name. That's the difference between a woman preacher and a man preacher. A man preacher wouldn't care. Okay. You just squish your flat and go on. Okay. Oh, but we do these signs and wonders in the name. So remember that. When you're working miracles, do it in the name. You do it. When you work in a miracle, Billy, when you cast out the devil, do it in the name. And realize you're not just doing it in the name because that's what you heard, you know, somebody else do. You're doing it in the name because you've been commanded to do it in the name. And in that name is where the power is released, because that's where the authority is. You are authorizing that power to be released in the name. That name is the key that unleashes the power. Releases the power or unleashes the power. It's in that name. Okay. Now, Over in Luke 17, the disciples came back and reported that even demons are subject to us in your name. In the name of Jesus, even demons. Now, some people, they make a big hoopla about demons. Demons are a big deal, you know. We can all believers can lay hands on the sick and all this. And, you know, you can pray and you can do this. But I'm telling you, where it's really at is when you cast out the demons. Some people, they just like to really talk about demons and get caught up in casting out demons. I'm telling you, you cast out a demon the same way you heal a sick body. You do it all in the name. The way you get somebody saved, how do you get somebody saved? In the name. Well, you cast out a demon in the name. It's all the same stuff, really. You're doing it all in the name. You can baptize somebody, you can do it in the name. You can do it all in the name. In the name of Jesus. You see that? And it's not like we have all the works and then we have the special work of casting out the demons. No. The demons are subject to you in the name. You just know whose name is on your lips. You know what it's there for. You know what you're authorizing. You know the authority you have in that name. It's no big deal. You don't have to make a spectacle of it. You know, I'm just telling you, if the Bible says to ask the Father in the name of Jesus and God moves based on your request, based on what you ask, why is it that we think that the devil's not going to move based on based on our command in the name of Jesus? I mean, God himself, the one, the biggie, the big guy upstairs, you know him. He's going to move and act based on a request we make in the name. So why is it we think God is, but yet the little nothing defeated, already defeated devil, demon thing, why do we think that it is not going to respond to the name of Jesus? Why would we tremble to do that, but yet, have no problem making a request of God? We should reverence God as much as we do demons. Most Christians have a lot more reverence for demons. They're scared of demons. Most people are more afraid of demons than they are the Lord. They are. We could say tonight, come up and we say, we have a lady here who's sick. Who can lay hands on her and bring the healing power of God, minister the healing power of God to her? We'd have a number of people stand up and we'd say, somebody's over here and they want to be saved. And who here can, get this person, lead this person to the Lord? And most of you would come up, Somebody here, they need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Who can do that? And come up. And then we'd say, well, we got this guy over here. He's the chained demoniac. He's got a legion of demons in him. Who can take care of that? And everybody would run out the door. It's true. But it's no different. It's just in the name. You just use the same name with the same authority that you use to do all the other works. You cast out the devil with the same authority. You just have to know who you are and the authority you have. Okay, moving along. We make demands. This is John 14. Jesus told us a lot there in the book of John about the name. John 14 and verse 12. Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do because I go to my Father. So we talk about that, how we're to do the works of Jesus. We've already talked about that some tonight. Greater works. What are the greater works? Well, Jesus never got one person born again, never got one person baptized in the Holy Spirit. We did that. That all happened after he accomplished it for us, so and then gave us the authority to do it. Those are the greater works, getting people saved and baptized in the Holy Spirit. Probably some other greater works. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. In other words, there are certain things that we have a right to based on our covenant with God. And if we'll make demands on that covenant in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, Jesus will do it. He'll carry it out. He'll see to it that it happens. He'll command heaven to move in your behalf. He'll do whatever is necessary to carry it out. If you see that things are out of the will of God and you know what God's will is, how would you know God's will? You'd find it in His Word. If you see that things are out of God's will and you know what God's will is, if you'll make a command or make a demand in the name of Jesus, then things will straighten out. What you're literally doing with the name of Jesus is you're undoing the works of the devil. When you make commands in the name of Jesus. Okay, now let's go to the next section, section 4, where we talk about the miraculous use of His name in the early church. Now, while I was studying this today, I just kept seeing that the early church, they had a revelation about the authority they had in that name. I mean, you look through here, everything they did in the name. And somehow or another, in the church, we've gotten over into that we have all these other things that we must do. But they just thought if they asked in the name, it would happen. They thought if they just commanded in the name, it would happen. If they made a demand in the name, it would happen. If they told him to go in the name, that he would go. That's what they believed. They didn't think they had to read, you know, all the books on how to get the devil to come out. No, really. You can really make him come out, really, if you read this book. Because really, he'll do it, really, you will, if you read this book. I mean, there's books just about like that. But the book of Acts, all they had really was the name. They didn't have the book. They just had the name, and they'd take that name. They knew what was resident in that name. They knew the authority they had in that name, so they'd use it. It was all they had. It's all they needed. They'd take that name and do whatever needed to be done. They had a revelation about it. They saw it was just as if Jesus himself were here in the flesh making the command or the request. See, they were there. The guys in the early church, a lot of them were with Jesus in the flesh. And so they knew that when he came up on somebody that had a legion of demons, that he would command the legion of demons to leave. They saw him do it. And they saw what the demons did. What did the demons do? They left. And so they saw it that when they came up on somebody who had demons, they didn't have to shrink back in fear and terror. They could face them, and they could, in Jesus' name, do what Jesus did. See, they just saw it like, when I do something in his name, it's just like he's here doing it. They realized, oh, this is like Jesus doing it. I'll just do what he did in his name. That's what they heard when he said, go into all the world. When he said, in my name, do these things, they heard, oh, I get it. We can go and do what we've just watched you do for 3.5 years. We can do it all. But when we do it, we just say, in the name of Jesus. And so they knew we can do what we just saw him do. We can walk out what he just walked out. We can minister to people, work the miracles he worked, do whatever needs to be done. And we can do it all just like he did it. But we just say, in his name, when we do it. And it'll be just the same as him doing it. Do you think, honestly, that we've had that revelation in the body of Christ? No, we haven't. We've been so weak and defeated. And maybe if we can all pray and we hold hands and we can get the lighting just right and sing the same song in just the right chord and the right note, and maybe something will happen. There's none of that. They just did it in the name. Acts was given as a model for us to reveal to us how things work and how they got the results they did. That's really Acts. Those people in Acts are closer to us. We can identify more with them than anybody else in the Scripture. You know, some people, they like to identify with the guys over in the book of Numbers. Personally, you know, I don't want to be identified with them. I want to be identified with the guys in the book of Acts, because they're the ones who had the power and got the results that I'm looking for. We want their results, so if we want their results, we should do it the way they did it. Now, you know the book of Acts hadn't been all written yet, don't you? The Acts of the Apostles, they're still going on. So we need to add some chapters. Maybe you can have a chapter. They got a chapter about Stephen. They got chapters about Paul. Maybe they can have some chapters about Billy. Wouldn't that be good? Okay, let's flip over to Acts chapter 3. We're going to read some of the things they did. Acts chapter 3. Now, this is the first sign, wonder, or miracle other than the baptism of the Holy Spirit being poured out. This is the first miracle in the book of Acts. You understand? The first one. Now, in the Bible, there's something you can look at. For lack of a better word, you can look at the precedent that is set. In other words, the first time, the first way that it was done, that's in there, it's the first one for a reason. You know, God planned them out. He put them in the order he wanted them in and put them in there for a reason. So right up front, the first one he's wanting to get our attention to see. And if the first, you know, so we can see some things. And if the first way that the first miracle was done in the book of Acts was in the name of Jesus, I would dare say that he was setting a precedent saying to us, do miracles in the name of Jesus. The first way to do miracles is in the name of Jesus. The first thing to consider is the name of Jesus. Don't let the first thing that you consider be try to find some oil that was grown, you know, that was made from olives that were grown on the Holy Land, you know, or whatever the stuff they do, you know. That's not the precedent that was set. The precedent was not all these other things that we charismaniacs do. No, the first thing was use the name. That's what they did. Acts chapter 3, verse 1. Peter and Paul went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple. Now look, they had not even been praying. They were on their way to pray. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. It's early in the morning. They're going to the temple to pray. Probably hadn't even prayed that day. They're going in. I'm just saying, we make all these religious rules of everything you got to do a miracle. Fixing his eyes on him. He asked him for alms, asked him for money. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, "Look at us. Hey, buddy, look at me." So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." I can see Peter now. He and John are going in the temple. The guy asked him for money. And I know what he thought. He thought, if Jesus were here, what would he do? Would Jesus give him money? I know what Jesus would do. Jesus would heal the man. And then he thought, you know, I was there that day before he ascended on high, where he looked and he said to me and those with me, he said, "You go in my name and you do my works." We can do the works. John, we can do the works, man. We can do what Jesus would do. So he looked at him and he said, "In the name of Jesus, Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." That's what he did. It was just that simple. That's what happened. You understand? No one was like back behind the temple, you know, right around the corner, back behind the big statue over there interceding and praying for him, holding his hands out. You know, we think we have to have that. We have to get 200 people to do that if we're going to get a miracle. You know, I'm just saying, we think all these things. He was going in the temple. He was on his way to pray. And he just said, "In the name of Jesus, hey, I know I got authority in that name. I saw him do it. I can do it in his name. I need to do it. The man needs his health. The man needs a lot more than a few dimes here. He needs his strength in his legs." And so what happened? He took him by the right hand and he lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. Just happened. In the name of Jesus. See, isn't it wonderful? Don't y'all love the book of Acts? This is a great book. And then Peter figured something out that day. I really think that whole thing just made a real big impact on Peter. He saw something from what he did. In verse 16, he's there. He's responding to the uproar. And he said, "And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know." He didn't say, "And the prayers of the saints have availed much, and we finally got the man up." He didn't say that. The Bible says that the prayers of the saints, the prayers of righteous men will make power available. But he didn't say that. He didn't say, "You know, it was that great vial of oil that my cousin sent me from the Holy Land. They'd been pressed out by the dear sisters, you know, with their naked toes, and they had walked on it, and we put it in this vial and sent it over, and it had been prayed over." No, none of that. He just said, "In the name." It was the name. Here it is. He's telling us, you know, down through the ages. He didn't know me and you were going to be here tonight wondering how to get these same results. But here we are. And so he wrote down in the book, you know, somebody recorded it. Dr. Luke recorded it so me and you would know how to get the same results. Do it in the name. It's his name. His name is what's getting us these results that we're getting. You want to get our results? Do what we did. Do it in the name. Realize that when you do it in the name, it's just like Jesus doing it. When you do it in the name, all of heaven says, "Woo! Jesus just made a command. Let's back him up." When you do it in the name, the key turns, the switch that releases the power, and the power comes flooding out, and it goes into that man's legs and strengthens him and raises him up. All in the name. You see what the big deal is about the name? Okay, let's look over at chapter 4, verse 17. "But so that it spreads no further." Now this is when even the religious people figured out something was going on in the name. They figured out, this is what we got to stop. We got something going on here, but I know what we got to do. We're going to stop it. And the way we're going to do it, we're going to stop them from using the name. Things happen when these people use the name. We take away the name, we're taking away their power. Wonder who told them that? The devil. That's the truth. The devil knew it. The devil inspired the religious people the day to say, "Hey, don't use the name. You can do whatever you want. We don't care how long you do this and you do all your religious stuff. Just don't use the name. That's what hurts us. So that it spreads no further among the people, let us severely threaten them that from now on they speak to no man in this name." There's something dangerous about this name. "So they called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor to teach in the name of Jesus." Well, now right there, you ought to be able to see. when the religious people, inspired by the devil himself, are telling them, you know, are taking care of the situation, they're telling them, don't do anything in the name. What we're forbidding you to do is don't do anything in the name. You can't speak in the name at all. Can't teach in the name at all. We don't want you using that name. You do any other stuff. You can, you know, get out all your religious relics and play with them. We don't care. You can burn incense. We don't care. Do anything you want, but don't do anything in the name. Because they knew that in the name was where the power was. Right there, in the name. Because the devil knows when he hears the name of Jesus, he has to bow. He has to flee. He has to do whatever's demanded of him. He has to loose him and let him go. Okay, so they feared the use of the name. The apostles prayed. Now, this is verse 29 and 30. I'll read that. Now, Lord, this is when Peter and John came back. They were reporting what happened to them, and they went, being let go, they went to their own company, and they began to pray in verse 29. Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done. How? Through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. How are signs and wonders done? Through the name of Jesus. How were they done in the book of Acts? Through the name of Jesus. How will they be done in your day? How will they be done in your life? How will they be done through your hands? In the name of Jesus. It's real simple. It's like so simple like we overlook it. Because, you know, our religious thinking is it can't be that simple. There's got to be a lot more to it than just this. Isn't that what you think? Don't you think that? It's got to be something a whole lot bigger here. We got to do something a lot bigger. We got to make up this whole big system of theology that we all have to follow. We have to put out all these, you know, hoops to jump through, these hurdles to get over. If we can get over all them, then maybe we can get a little power down here. Peter was just, he was probably half asleep, like some of you are when you come in here on, you know, on Tuesdays and Thursdays to pray. That's how they were. It was the ninth hour, but, you know, they were fishermen. They fished all night. He was probably still sleepy at 9 o'clock in the morning. I know a lot of days I am. So there they are. They're coming in to pray, and they do a miracle in the name of Jesus, just right off the bat. Praise God. Okay, and then we need to reverence his name and realize what we hold in it. It isn't just the end, you know, to signal the end of our prayer. Okay, now a couple more, and then we're going to go. Acts chapter 5, verse 12, and through the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were done among the people. If they were done through the hands of the apostles, we know, based on what we just read over here, what we read over here previously in Acts, we know that they're all done in the name of Jesus. In Acts 4, 29 and 30, we know they were done in the name. And then verse 16 says, also a multitude gathered from the surrounding cities to Jerusalem, bringing sick people and those who were tormented by unclean spirits, and they were all healed. How were they healed? Through the name. They were all healed through the name. Okay, now one last one, Acts chapter 16. That was Peter and John and those apostles who walked with Jesus. But now Paul didn't know Jesus in the flesh. You know, he came on the scene after Jesus had left the earth. But he, I guess, learned from the early apostles and what they were teaching and preaching what to do, how to get the signs and wonders. And so in Acts chapter 16 and verse 16, it says, now it happened as we went to prayer, this is Paul and Silas, that a certain slave girl possessed with a spirit of divination met us, who brought her masters much profit by fortune-telling. This girl followed Paul and us and cried out, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God who proclaimed us the way of salvation. And this she did for many days. But Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out that very hour. Do you see that? Now, if you need the devil to depart, what should you do? Use the name. Command him to depart in the name of Jesus. Use the name. They delivered this girl from devils, from the spirit of divination. How? They used the name of Jesus. It's so simple. The name of Jesus. Praise God. Thank God for the name. You see what you have in that name? Now, I bet tonight when you say your good night prayers and you say in the name of Jesus, you're going to stop for just a moment and think, man, I get to use that name. That I can even utter it, such a miracle itself. And that when I utter it, it means something. That there's authority there. There's power released. I got a big key. My big key opens any door. It's the name of Jesus.